Good morning. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'm going to read again from a Sand County Almanac written by Aldo Leopold and published in 1949. I'll be reading the January chapter. It's a short chapter. And after that, I'll be reading some of Fran Hammerstrom's Birds of Prey of Wisconsin, talking about the rough-legged hawk, which visits us in winter from the high Arctic breeding grounds. January thaw. Each year, after the midwinter blizzards, there comes a night of thaw when the tinkle of dripping water is heard in the land. It brings strange stirrings not only to creatures abed for the night, but to some who have been asleep for the winter. The hibernating skunk, curled up in his deep den, uncurls himself and ventures forth to prowl the wet world, dragging his belly in the snow. His track marks one of the earliest datable events in that cycle of beginnings and ceasings, which we call a year. The track is likely to display an indifference to mundane affairs, uncommon at other seasons. It leads straight across country as if its maker had hitched his wagon to a star and dropped the reins. I follow, curious to deduce his state of mind and appetite and destination, if any. The months of the year, from January up to June, are a geometric progression in the abundance of distractions. In January, one may follow a skunk track, or search for bands on chickadees, or see what young pines the deer have browsed, or what muskrat houses the mink have dug, with only an occasional and mild digression into other doings. January observation can be almost as simple and peaceful as snow, and almost as continuous as cold. There is time not only to see who has done what, but to speculate why. A meadow mouse, startled by my approach, darts damply across the skunk track. Why is he abroad in daylight? Probably because he feels grieved about the thaw. Today his maze of secret tunnels, laboriously chewed through the matted grass under the snow, are tunnels no more, but only paths exposed to public view and ridicule. Indeed, the thawing sun has mocked the basic premise of the microtine economic system. The mouse is a sober citizen who knows that grass grows in order that mice may store it as underground haystacks, and that snow falls in order that mice may build subways from stack to stack, supply, demand, and transport all neatly organized. To the mouse, snow means freedom from want and fear. A rough-legged hawk comes sailing over the meadow ahead. Now he stops, hovers like a kingfisher, and then drops like a feathered bomb into the marsh. He does not rise again, so I'm sure he is caught and is now eating some worried mouse engineer who could not wait until night to inspect the damage to his well-ordered world. The roughleg has no opinion why grass grows, but he is well aware that snow melts in order that hawks may again catch mice. He came down out of the Arctic in the hopes of thaws, for to him a thaw means freedom from want and fear. The skunk track enters the woods and crosses a glade where the rabbits have packed down the snow with their tracks and mottled it with pinkish urinations. Newly exposed oak seedlings have paid for the thaw with their newly barked stems. Tufts of rabbit hair bespeak the year's first battles among the amorous bucks. Further on, I find a bloody spot encircled by a wide, sweeping arc of owl's wings. To this rabbit, the thaw brought freedom from want, but also a reckless abandonment of fear. The owl has reminded him that thoughts of spring are no substitute for caution. The skunk track leads on, showing no interest in possible food and no concerns over the rompings or retributions of his neighbors. I wonder what he has on his mind. What got him out of bed? Can one impute romantic motives to this corpulent fellow dragging his ample beltline through the slush? Finally, the track enters a pile of driftwood and does not emerge. I hear the tinkle of dripping water among the logs, and I fancy the skunk hears it too. I turn homeward, still wondering. And that's the complete January thaw chapter of a Sand County Almanac. Leopold wrote in the piece I just read, "A rough-leg hawk comes sailing over the meadow ahead. Now he stops, hovers like a kingfisher, and then drops like a feathered bomb into the marsh." I'd like to delve a little deeper into these beautiful winter visitors. I will read from Fran Hammerstrom's Birds of Prey of Wisconsin booklet, published by the Department of Natural Resources in 1972. In the first chapter, on the family of hawks called Buteos, that's rough-legs, red-tails, broad-wings, and red-shouldered hawks, she writes, "Rough-legged hawks nest in the far, wild, treeless barrens of the north, the tundra. Every winter, they migrate through or into Wisconsin. These big birds are often mistaken for bald eagles, and it's no wonder that they confuse so many bird students, for they come in so many colors. There are light-colored rough-legs, brown and black rough-legs, and rough-legs that are entirely black. Youngsters from the same nest do not necessarily look alike, and those that are dark with almost white heads do look like adult bald eagles. The rough-legs actually have almost furry legs, for they are feathered to the toes with soft feathers. They have small, not powerful feet, neatly adapted to grappling with a mouse. Rough-legs do much of their hunting by hovering with beating wings over likely-looking mouse meadows. Of the larger-than-crow-sized hawks, only three hover as though suspended from the sky by an invisible string, the rough-leg, the osprey, and more rarely the red-tail. Most rough-legs, unlike other big hawks, show white at the base of the tail feathers, so if it's hovering and shows white at the base of the tail, it's a rough leg that has wended its way down from Eskimo country." And that's what Fran writes in her page on the rough leg hawk. This is a wonderful little guide to Birds of Prey of Wisconsin. You might find it at a used bookstore. And this booklet has illustrations by Fran's daughter, Elva Paulson Hammerstrom. And on this page here, it shows the color phases of the rough leg and also a way to tell the males from the females by tail markings. The female has a solid dark brown band at the end of the tail with white extending to the body. The male's tail is similar, but has three narrower dark bands close together at the end of the tail. This would be hard to see unless you have a good look with binoculars or a scope, but it is unusual to be able to tell the sex of a Buteo. Rough legs breed in open country of the Arctic, both in North America and Eurasia. I have a friend who studied rough legs breeding in Sweden for more than 25 years. Fran, in her Birds of Prey of Wisconsin, breaks her size guidelines for raptor IDing to huge eagles and turkey vultures, not huge, somewhat larger than a crow. This covers the Buteos, about crow size, and roughly robin size. I'd like to add one more reliable guide for IDing a rough leg at a distance. If you see a not huge hawk-sized bird perched in a thin upper branch of a lone tree in an open area, a branch so thin that it looks like it could not possibly hold a large bird, it's a rough leg. These hawks seem to do this frequently. Their feet are remarkably smaller than the other Buteos. As a former wildlife rehabilitator, I can attest to their needle-sharp talons. They are beautiful in all their many plumage variations. Online, I often will use search words, images, and then the name of any bird I'm interested in, and you'll find beautiful results. And don't forget allaboutbirds.org, the free website from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. It has comprehensive information about any bird you're interested in. For example, there, I just learned that the oldest roughleg banded and recovered was a 17-year, 9-month-old female found in Illinois in 1972. The word wisdom comes to my mind. Also, please take a look at the archives of these broadcasts of mine on the WDRT.org website under Programs, then Podcasts, then Natural Wonders. All the people who do programming for WDRT make a big effort to bring you quality, thoughtful shows, and it's worth looking up past programs. Good luck. I hope you will find a rough leg or two in an open area this winter while they're here. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thanks for listening.